the Sea Ray is ready to soar. The Sport Plane Resource Guide returns, and American is allowed to freeze pilot pensions. This is Aero News for Monday, November the 12th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Progressive Aerodyne's Sea Ray, a light sport amphibian airplane, has received the necessary blessings from the requisite authorities to be offered for sale, fully built, to the flying public. Progressive Aerodyne successfully passed an FAA light sport aircraft prototype audit by the audit team from FAA Air 200 in Washington, D.C., and obtained an airworthiness certification from the FAA Orlando MITO office on November the 8th. Progressive Aerodyne has been working for a few years diligently to meet relevant ASTM standards and FAA regulations with help and guidance from Silverlight Aviation. PA was the first one out of seven light sport aircraft manufacturers in the past 2 years to pass the FAA audit without any major findings. PA will start production of the compliant airplane immediately to meet the long-expected market demand. New factory-built airplanes will be delivered to customers who put down a deposit in just a couple of months. Well, ANN's Jim Campbell has announced plans to publish the third edition of his robust sport and kit plane reference book, The Sport Plane Resource Guide. You may recall the last edition weighed in at nearly 5 pounds and covered 1,100 pages, including some 740 sport aircraft. Well, the coming new edition, the third, will be even bigger and better. This effort will be an extensive one, and plans are afoot for both a print as well as an electronic edition. Formats and configurations are being studied, but one of the benefits to be seen to an electronic edition, of course, is the ability to publish updates on a regular basis to keep all the information as current as possible. The Sport Plane Resource Guide, which will feature an extensive aircraft and equipment directory, as well as informative how-to sections for both SLSA as well as the ELSA, will provide impartial specifications and analysis of an aircraft's capabilities. It will also provide specific direction to those interested in flying light sport aircraft as a sport pilot. ANN, of course, will release additional details at the 2013 U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring this January, while survey materials and other data will be disseminated for collection this spring. The entire effort is expected to take about a year to complete. On Thursday, the IRS and Treasury Department created an exception to its rules, allowing American and other companies in a similar position to eliminate a lump sum option from the union's pension plans. The airline will still have to pay the benefits in full, but pilots cannot now retire and take their pensions in one large payment. The Dallas Morning News reports that the so-called A-scale pilots were opposed to the plan, but the Allied Pilots Association as an organization found the change to be preferable to a termination of its members' pensions. In a message to members, APA said that the freeze will preserve the benefits and require American Airlines to continue to fund the plan. American spokesman Bruce Hicks said the airline was also happy with the arrangement. Hicks said that the company has, from the beginning, sought a solution that, quote, maintains the freeze of our pilot-defined benefit plan, end quote. Normally, when we think about drugs being smuggled into the United States, we think of Mexico and or Colombia. But this past Wednesday, a Canadian helicopter pilot who confessed to flying thousands of pounds of marijuana into the United States from Canada was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 5 years of supervised release. Henry Rosano, 61 years of age, of Armstrong, British Columbia, Canada, pleaded guilty in July of 2012 to conspiracy to import marijuana, just hours before he was to go on trial for a second time. His first trial back in April ended in a hung jury. In his plea agreement, Rosanov admitted that between 2000 and 2005, he flew dozens of loads of marijuana into forested areas in western and eastern Washington, Idaho, and Montana. Rosanov was identified in Operation Frozen Timber. The 2005 investigation led by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Homeland Security Investigations identified organized criminal groups smuggling B.C. bud marijuana by helicopter south from Canada into the United States and smuggling cocaine north into Canada. More than 40 people were indicted in connection with Operation Frozen Timber. When Aero News continues, Hawker plans more layoffs, UAS integration receives broad support, and a baggage fee the airlines say they don't want you to pay.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Monday, November the 12th. I'm Glenn Moyer. It would appear that more layoffs are in the offing as Hawker Beechcraft moves through its bankruptcy process. The company said it plans to cut just over 400 more jobs in four states as part of its restructuring. The layoffs are associated with the closure of three HBC services facilities in Little Rock, Arkansas, San Antonio, Texas, and Mesa, Arizona, which will cost 240 people their jobs, according to a report in the Wichita Eagle. The company will also cut 170 jobs from its Little Rock Completion Center and in Wichita. HBC said last month that it will emerge from bankruptcy as Beechcraft Corporation and focus on its piston and turboprop lines. The Little Rock Completion Center finishes jets for customers, and the new Beechcraft will not be in the jet business. Those in this most recent round of layoffs received 60-day notices on Friday. HBC had previously issued notices to just over 1,000 workers in Wichita this year, according to Kansas Works. In the letter, the decision was said to be necessary for the long-term health of the company. A coalition of some 20 aviation organizations has written a letter to acting FAA Administrator Michael Huerta supporting his recent remarks on the agency's commitment to safely integrate unmanned aircraft systems operations into the national airspace system. While the group is supportive of the integration of UAS into the national airspace, they advise Huerta, quote, "It is our belief that for FAA to succeed, the agency must remain focused on safety rather than privacy issues where the FAA has no statutory standing or technical expertise," end quote. The industry leaders say they know that it is inevitable that remotely piloted aircraft will be a part of the aviation landscape in the future. They wrote the letter to urge the acting administrator to see that they are responsibly integrated into the national airspace system in a way that makes sense for both the UAS industry but does not detract from safety under the current aviation system. A pilot from Illinois who was dismissed after contacting the FAA to discuss violations of the pilot certification process at the Northern Illinois Flight Center has been reinstated and is to be paid more than $500,000 in back wages, benefits, and damages. An investigation by the U.S. Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration found that Northern Illinois Flight Center violated the whistleblower protection provisions of the Wendell H. Ford Aviation Investment and Reform Act for the 21st century, known as Air 21, by illegally terminating the pilot. The pilot alleged that he was asked to falsify an FAA Form 61.55 pilot certification for a training flight he performed with another pilot. He maintained that all the required elements were not completed during the training flight, and thus he could not certify the form. He also alleged that later, the Northern Illinois Flight Center supervisors attempted to coerce him into signing a backdated and incorrect form. During an even subsequent conversation, the pilot informed his supervisors that he wanted to contact the FAA directly to get clarification on the issue. The pilot was terminated April the 7th with no reason stated. The investigation, conducted by OSHA's Chicago office, upheld the pilot's allegations and found that he would not have been terminated if he had not requested to meet with the FAA for the purpose of discussing the pilot certification process and forms. Well, here's a new twist on an old story, baggage fees. Last week, Spirit Airlines introduced a $100 fee for carry-on bags. Now, while you reach for the oxygen mask, let me explain that the airline says it really doesn't want you to pay that fee. It's all part of a program called Bring Less, Pay Less. It's a sliding baggage fee scale that rewards those who alert the airline early of their intent to carry on bags and penalizes those who wait till the last minute. Declare early, and the fee can be as low as $25. Spirit says knowing in advance how much baggage will be on all parts of the plane has helped them save nearly 6 million gallons of fuel over the past 12 months. I suppose if you think about it, it's not an altogether bad thing. Now, if we could just find a way to get parents to declare early if they were bringing a screaming tantrum-throwing child on board, that would be worth paying for. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.